Welcome back here with Dave and Faisal on QR Calgary and More Than Money. Been an interesting and exciting show, my friend, and I am frustrated.
Okay? Yeah, I was going to ask you, are you feeling okay?
No, no, I am frustrated, and I don't know if we're going to be able to do it justice in the time we have here, but you know, the budget was presented for a new generation and share the wealth and all this stuff, and it's only going to affect the top 0.13%. And I have to tell you, a quick experience. The very first conversation I had when I got in the morning the next day after the budget was announced was a young woman approached me and said, Dave, my grandmother, who's 90, okay, has now a tax problem. So her grandfather, since passed away, worked at in Saskatchewan at Potash, started in the mailroom, was just a good old-fashioned working man for his whole life. And what they did is they saved money as they were supposed to do, live beneath their means, save so they could take care of themselves and their family. And with what little they scraped together over the years, each year they put it away and they were buy and hold people. And now grandma's 90 and she has a big embedded capital gain just because they've owned good Canadian businesses over time, okay, as they've set money aside. And the impact on this to her is the tax change is going to cost her grandmother, between $140,000 and $150,000. And it begs the question, okay? It begs the question at this point in time, should she have saved any money at all? Are we becoming a nation of handouts?
So this is what the arguments on both sides of the fence are saying. If anybody, and let's pick on grandma here, grandma is now a multimillionaire or a millionaire at least.
Yep.
Okay. So she's a millionaire.
Yep.
Pay some more tax.
Right.
That's the argument. Okay. And I think that's where the problem comes into play, is that who are we trying to take from, right, and who are we trying to give to? And when you look at this, I don't think it's a disincentive to save. I think it's a disincentive to invest. Had grandma and grandpa tucked their money in their mattress and made zero rate of return, they would, and they were still able to save $1 million, $2 million, then they would be multimillionaires, but with zero tax issues because all the money's in their mattress.
But remember, they wouldn't have a million or two because it wouldn't have grown. Okay, so great. Now we're disincenting people not to save, according to you, and I'm going to come back to that, but not to grow it. Okay, so now it just sits and it does nothing. What in the hell is the reason for either of those things? You may as well, if this was 50-year-old granny and we knew all that's going to happen is you are going to continually apply more and more wealth taxes, success taxes against people that do what they're supposed to do to take care of their family.
So I'm taking a little bit of a less stance on this one from the people I've been talking to on the other side of this argument.
Okay.
This is not my argument. This is not our team's argument. This is the other side of the argument, is that grandma could still save.
Why? Why save? Because she can't make money.
Because when it comes time that she'll need the money for other things.
Why? The government will give it to you.
Then you lose out on the capacity of choice. Let's take that grandma needs help in the home.
Mm-hmm.
She needs care.
Government should do it. Government will provide the care.
We know. We've been doing this show for 16 years. The government does not pay 100% of those costs. There's going to be an out-of-pocket expense. And if you don't have it, then you're going to be even more of a burden to the taxpayer because you're going to be in the hospital.
Why not
in
be a receiver? There's my question. Why not be a receiver? Why be the, you know, we need a strong middle class. Please don't understand. Nobody misunderstand the fact that every economy needs a strong middle class. You and I debate this all the time.
100%.
You have two choices. You can take from people that are successful and you can give to people that are lower in middle class, hoping that they're going to become middle class.
And that's the point that you just said. You said successful. Here's where I have a problem. When did we define what successful and not successful is?
Right.
I don't understand. What's the line? Apparently, if you make $250,000, you're now in the rich category.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you have $1 million, you're in the rich category. If you bought an average home in major cities like Toronto and Vancouver, it's $1 million.
Right.
So if you were, and here's my problem with this, if you just did the job of paying off your mortgage,
right,
you're a millionaire,
right,
on paper.
Right. That very average Canadian family that bought a home, whatever, Vancouver, Toronto, 25 years ago on a modest income,
correct,
is now the definition of the ultra wealthy.
So I'm not, when we start talking about we're taking from one group, the successful that you said, and we're moving it to the middle class and lower middle class and below that. I don't know what the definition of successful is.
Right.
When we think of successful, some of us are thinking Elon Musk. Some of us are thinking CEOs of major Canadian corporations. Some of us are thinking the billionaires and people have got $100, $200 million.
Right. No, it's grandma. It's grammy, it's granny and grandpa that just saved, worked and saved their whole life.
Because we put the metric at $1 million. We can have $1 trillion economies, $1 trillion companies, but a millionaire on paper owning a home in downtown Toronto, you're now wealthy. I don't think that's accurate.
Right.
I think where we target this level of the word financially successful has to move.
Well, and the approach that Canadians, I don't blame the government. I think this is a Canadian issue. Every one of us has got to sit back and say, what would we prefer in terms of developing a middle class? Do we want to take from somebody and give it to somebody else? Because I contend that when you receive something for free or perceived free, you didn't earn it, it has far less value than it has in the hands of the person that earned it. So we have a choice. We can take it and give it to people. That's the free. Or you can incent those people to become middle class by taking risk, working hard, and earning it.
And that's what we want to hear from you. Is it better to just move from one group of people the money via a tax system to help the middle class and below middle class? Or is it better to incent people? We'd love to hear back from you. We're going to be having our seminars in Lethbridge on May 7th, 7 p.m. in Calgary, June 4th, 7 p.m. You need to register for both. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
All right. I just want to thank everybody for indulging me in my little rant there. I hope we hear from you, and I hope it sparks conversation, right? I think we need to start having conversation about this in our country. All right. Thanks for tuning in for another edition of More Than Money on QR Calgary. On behalf of Faisal and myself, Dave, we look forward to chatting with you next week.
David Popowich and Faisal Carmelli are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Woodgundy in Calgary. The views of David Popowich and Faisal Carmelli do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets, Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Woodgundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Woodgundy is a division of CIBC World Markets, Inc., a subsidiary of CIBC and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada.